There are so many things that Jesus does in Mark chapter 6 that raise questions. Like when Jesus preaches in Capernaum, his hometown, where he grew up, and they mock him. Verse 5 of chapter 6 in Mark says, he couldn't do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. And we say, what? He couldn't? Or like in Mark chapter 6, when he sends out his 12 guys in six different teams to do stuff like he was doing, and verse 12 says, they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And we say, what? They could do that? And then there was Jesus's opening act, John, who got thrown in prison for preaching the truth. And the wicked king got played at a party. Verse 27 says, so the king immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went and beheaded John in prison. But Jesus didn't do anything to help. There are a bunch of weird going on in this page of Mark's gospel. Like at verse 41, it says, taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of men who had eaten was 5,000. And we say, really? 5,000 guys and they were all full? All these things that Mark reports as really happening has raised questions over the years. Verse 56, it says, wherever Jesus went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. I will admit, all of these things are unusual to the point of might not be true, except that both Jesus' friends and his enemies freely admit these things were true. These things really happened. There is much debate over how he did that, but there was no denying that he was doing that. And if it wasn't true, people would have debunked this as soon as Mark wrote it down. But apparently, there were still many eyewitnesses of the feeding of the 5,000 when Mark wrote. And I'm thinking perhaps we should call them mouth witnesses. And personally, I'm okay with all of Mark's miracles, all the miracles in Mark chapter 6, except the one that I didn't mention. Between the food for the 5,000 on the one shore and the healing of all the people on the other shore, there's a pericope in Mark chapter 6 where Jesus walks on the water in the middle of the night. He walks across the Sea of Galilee during a storm in the middle of the night. The Sea of Galilee is 6 miles across. It is 20 miles long. It is kind of like Canandaigua Lake, only 6 times bigger. Verse 48 says, Jesus saw the disciples straining at the oars, and because the wind was against them, shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed. I bet. And there are many people who have come up with explanations as to why this didn't really happen. Like some people have suggested that the 12 were actually much closer to the shore than they actually thought, and Jesus just kind of waded out in the water up to his knees, and they thought he was walking on the water. Or some people have said it was a really tough storm, and they were very discouraged after rowing for 6 hours and not really getting anywhere. But somebody yelled, Jesus! Like, for Gondor, or remember the Alamo, or bills make me want to shout. Somebody shouted, Jesus! And they all rallied behind the idea that they were rowing for Jesus and somehow they made it to the other shore. Are some ideas not just dumb? Or some people said that Jesus had the first jet ski ever hidden in a cave somewhere and he rode it out and they didn't even notice, which is ridiculous, of course. They hadn't invented those engines yet. Some have suggested that a couple of dolphins towed Jesus out to the boat. There are no dolphins in the Sea of Galilee. William Barclay says, he is a commentator, he writes about the Bible, he's smart. William Barclay says, What happened, we do not know and will never know. The story is cloaked in mystery, which defies explanation. What we do know is that he came to them and their storm became a calm. With him beside them, nothing mattered anymore. And I say, thank you, Mr. Barkley, but we do know what happened. Mark tells us what happened. Jesus walked out to the boat on the water. Another guy, another commentator, Lamar Williamson Jr., wrote, he wrote, nowhere is the distinction between reading Mark as history and gospel more important than here. Read as history, this passage has produced through the centuries a kind of good-humored or sometimes cynical disbelief. William says, walking on water means to attempt something everyone knows is impossible. Read as gospel, however, this passage offered strong comfort to fearful disciples. And I say, well, thank you, Lamar, but if it didn't really happen, if this is all make-believe, I don't really feel much comfort from this story. Do you? A sixth grade teacher told her students that their assignment that day was to stand up and state their dad's occupation and then spell it and then give an example of the service that he would provide. So the first student stood up and he said, my father's a baker, B-A-K-E-R, and he could give you some bread. The second student stood up and said, my father's a banker, B-A-N-K-E-R, and he could give you a loan. The third student said, my father's an electrician, E-L-C-E-L-E-C-E-L-E-L-L-E. The teacher said, wait a minute, why don't you just sit down and think about that for a moment? We'll come back to you. The next student stood up and said, my father's a bookie, B-O-O-K-I-E. He could give you 100 to 1. That kid will never spell electrician. I'll give you 100 to 1 that they will never come up with an explanation easier to believe than Mark's explanation, which is, when Jesus saw his guys in trouble on the sea, he walked out to help them. It's weird that people who are usually okay with miracles have such a hard time with this one. Why is walking on water so hard to buy? I mean, Jesus has quite a history with water. He handled it in the beginning when he separated it from the land and the sky. He unleashed it from below and above for 40 days in Noah's time. He parted it for his people to walk through when they left Egypt and when they entered into the promised land. He arranged for Jonah to be stopped by a storm at sea in the water and then scooped up by a fish inside the water. Jesus called for more fish through the water into the disciples' nets than their boats could handle. He told the storm in the very last chapter to shut it, and the storm stopped. And after all of that, all of his dealings with water, if Jesus wants to dance atop the Sea of Galilee, I'm okay with that. Or if he wants to take a shortcut straight across this lake at night, midnight, that's fine by me. Do you know that water is heavier than butane? Water is heavier than butane. I think this is a scientific fact because butane is a lighter fluid. Maybe not scientific, certainly not funny. And it's not waters bearing Jesus' weight as he walks across it that even gets me in this miracle. I can believe that. What I don't get is the last three words at the end of Mark chapter 6, verse 48. I don't understand the last three words. It says, Jesus saw his disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them. He saw them struggling, okay, he walks out to them, fine. But then it says he was about to pass them by? What? I don't get it. Why would he? Why? If the 12 cannot make any headway against the storm, why would Jesus walk out and then pass them by? And the answer that people have come up with this one are equally not helpful. Like some say, well, Jesus was just going out there to check on the disciples to see how they were doing. And we say, no, Mark already told us that Jesus knows from the shore. He can see that they're in trouble. Some people say, well, Jesus wasn't really going to pass them by. The disciples were just confused, and they just thought he was going to go by. And we say, well, no, Mark says Jesus was about to pass them by. He's really doing this, whatever this is. Well, how about Jesus couldn't stop because he wasn't really in control of himself? I mean, he was walking on water. It's kind of like when I try to ice skate. He was just going. He couldn't stop. Bad answer. Jesus is not still practicing walking on water. He's already covered 3 miles to get out to them. How about How about Jesus was just playing with them and he wanted to yell surprise when they got to the other side? Why does Mark say Jesus was about to pass them by as he walked on the water? On the surface of that, pardon the pun, that seems kind of unlike Jesus. But if we go a little deeper, pardon the pun, we can learn something really important here. These guys, think about where they've been. They have just been sent out by Jesus on a long missions trip, a couple weeks long, maybe a month long, and they had done great things. But at the same time, one of Jesus's best representatives, John, was being executed. And that was horrible. These guys just this day have spent the day feeding 5,000 men, which is one of the coolest miracles ever. And now they're spending the night rowing for 6 hours and they hadn't even gotten 3 miles. That was terrible. Following Jesus was up and down and great and rotten and advance and retreat. What is the deal, they're thinking? Does Jesus help us or not in life? That's the question. In these guys' Bibles, there's an answer. In these guys' Bibles, and they know their Bible, there are stories in these guys' Bibles from Moses' life that were just like that. Moses experienced amazing wins and terrible losses in his life. At one point, Moses asked God for a little confirmation. Do you remember that? He said, God, I'm not even sure this is working. And in these guys' Bibles, and they know their Bible, in these guys' Bibles, there's a guy named Elijah who had some amazing feats of accomplishment with God. And he also had some pitiful moments. And at one point, Elijah asked God if God was even there, and if he was there, why didn't he care? You remember that? And both times, in these guys' Bibles, God was willing to help his guys out, and he said he would by passing them by. God said he was willing to show them his ID, to prove that he was who he claimed to be. In Exodus chapter 33, the story goes like this. It says, then Moses said to God, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. But, God said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Do you remember that? Do you remember when God passed Moses by on the mountain? And after he did, Moses' face shone? How about poor old Elijah? In 1 Kings chapter 19, the Lord said, Elijah, he was having a terrible day. He said, Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Both times in the Old Testament, when these guys are wondering if God is really with them or not, both times in the Old Testament, and these guys knew these stories, like we know Paul Revere took a ride to warn people, like we know Armstrong walked on the moon, like we know Norwood's kick sailed wide right, there are certain things that they just knew. And they knew Moses' story. They knew Elijah's story. And they knew that there were times when God had passed by his guys to show them who he was. Times when Moses and Elijah found out for sure that the one they followed was God indeed. But both those times, those guys were not allowed to look right at God. Because if they did, they probably would have melted like the soldiers in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Can't look at God. But God passed by, and they knew something new. Okay, what do you get when you teach a werewolf? Oh, I blew it. Never mind. All right, I'll tell it anyways. It's bad. What do you get when you teach a wolf to meditate? A werewolf. A werewolf. Should I have left it the first time? a werewolf. Moses and Elijah were very aware of how amazing God was after he passed them by. God passing by is kind of code for showing people who he really is. So I don't think Jesus was going to pass them by on the sea that night because he was in a hurry to the other side. I don't think Jesus wanted to tiptoe over there to surprise them when they got there. I think Jesus was going to pass them by in the Old Testament sense of that phrase. He was going to display an almost unbelievable power so that they would know from that point on, holy cow, he just did what only God could do. And they would never have to wonder again, ever again, whether Jesus was really God or not. Even if they faced what John just faced and they were going to be beheaded. Even if their circumstances in life were totally out of control and there was no way they could win, once they had seen Jesus pass them by, walking on water, something only God can do, they would always know, yep, Jesus is really God. No matter what else happens, that's true. And folks, we can too. No matter what kind of response you are getting to your efforts to live in the kingdom of God today, whether you're doing great and you have a growing and glowing platform from which to impact people around you like Jesus did after he fed the 5,000 people, or if in your attempt to follow God, if your attempt to live for him, to live in his kingdom in this world, if it feels like you're losing ground, losing momentum, taking a pounding right now, regressing, being shot at from all sides like it's never going to work out, like John felt in his cell, like the disciples felt that night at the sea, nothing changes the fact that Jesus passed them by. And it gets better because he let them see his face when he was going by. He passed them by to show them who he was, but when they cried out, he stopped and talked with them. When Jesus was playing his God card for the 12, in the middle of that deal, Jesus climbed in their boat. Mark 6 tells us not only do we get to see God in our lives, but now he climbs in with us, leading to one of the best posts I've ever seen on Facebook. I've seen a lot of posts on Facebook. Like one this week said, I call my horse Mayo, and sometimes mayonnaise. I saw one that said, a man assaulted his neighbor with milk and cheese. How dare he? There are good things out there on the internet. I saw one that said, Lego stores reopened after the lockdown. Folks were lined up for blocks. And my personal favorite of this week was, I was going to tell a time-traveling joke here, but you guys didn't like it. Here's the one I wanted to get to. When you feel like you're drowning in life, don't worry, your lifeguard walks on water. And Mark, if he was posting that, would add, and he will not pass you by. Jesus is great. Invite him into your boat.